are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October the 10th, and the Pistons get the win. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Really pleased with the podcast download numbers so far as the preseason has kicked off. Give my boy Will Hunter a listen on Locked On Spartans, our friend Isaiah Hole at Locked On Wolverines as well, and of course Matt Derry at Locked On Lions as the Leos continue their season. I'm a daily listener to Locked On Lions, so I can know all about the team that I'm covering and learn more and different perspectives and different things to know. If you're a fan or even a writer about the Detroit Lions, I'm out there all the time, and hopefully you get to read some of that stuff on DetroitNews.com. But today, back to Pistons land. We're going to run on the action from the first Pistons win of the preseason against the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday night. Also going to give you my three biggest takeaways from that one. And at the end, I will drop my thoughts on the China situation, incomplete as they are in the NBA right now, and the Piston that will be possibly most impacted by everything in China going forward. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But I'll tell you about the thing that I'm going to have my eyes on today throughout the internet world and the NBA, today being Thursday. Apparently, 538.com, the ESPN micro site run by Nate Silver that obviously touches on numbers and how they relate to the sporting world for parts of it. They're introducing their newest NBA metric, and that is called Raptor. I listened to a podcast through 538.com where Nate Silver and Neil Payne talked about that and how it's coming out and how it's going to impact their projections coming into the season. So all new projections coming from 538.com. I already have some thoughts on it. I already have some ideas of how it's going to impact the Pistons and their projections based on what Nate Silver and Neil Payne had to say about it on that podcast. Listen to. So like I said, that's coming out Thursday. Look for that on 538.com. We'll talk about it on Friday's podcast. That's right. One more episode this week on Friday, so look out for that if everything goes well in my world. Got a lot of things on my plate these days with the Lions coverage, trying to get the Pistons season off the ground. Michigan State, going to try to get away for a day or so this weekend as well. So a lot going on in my world, just like you guys, I would imagine, too. But the Pistons get the win on Wednesday night at home in Little Caesars Arena, 124-117 against the Dallas Mavericks. Went down big early, I think 14 down at the first quarter, or maybe early second quarter. Beating the Mavs and Luka Doncic, who made his first and only appearance in Detroit this season. He didn't play in Detroit last year as well. The Pistons' quote-unquote home game against the Mavs this year will be in Mexico City. So no Doncic coming back to Detroit. No Kristaps Porzingis coming back to Detroit. He made his preseason debut, and really his debut with the Mavericks in general today. So really kind of interesting that, as you know, as boring as the preseason is, generally speaking, you had Derrick Rose and Joe Johnson making their debut on Monday in Pistons uniforms, and you also had Markelle Fultz on the other end, who was one of the more talked about players this training camp, a big microscope around him, and then you had Kristaps Porzingis on Wednesday. So really kind of some interesting league-wide storylines so far with the Pistons and their preseason games. Don't know that continues much with, although John Beilein coming back coaching in the state of Michigan on Friday night, that's a bit of a storyline in and of itself. So yeah, there's some things to look out for in the NBA world here in the preseason. But to me, it's they're 1-1 for the Pistons right now in the preseason. That doesn't matter record-wise, of course, but good to see the team play well, but it's just strange to me how much the regular players are playing. I don't quite understand it. And with the opponents, too. So in Dwayne Casey's defense, we've seen Steve Clifford and Rick Carlisle kind of going with that same approach, especially considering you look at how the NFL operates. I've been covering a lot of that lately, obviously. And And they're two different games, two different sports, no doubt about that. But in my head, I was just kind of prepared for the NBA to move on to this new, smarter phase of the preseason where it's guys, you know, fighting for roster spots and guys, G League type of guys, getting more looks. But so far, I've been wrong. Dallas had, like I said, Rick Carlisle and Dallas had their top guys all playing about 20 minutes. But the Pistons took it even a step further. Blake Griffin played 27 minutes after playing 14 on Monday. Reggie Jackson, 26, 24 for Andre Drummond, 26 for Luke Kennard, and 24 for Derrick Rose. Now, part of that with those five guys in particular, and maybe there's a little bit of a good reason for that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But again, I would expect, and I've been wrong so far, so no reason to ever believe me or believe in my predictions or really listen to the show for that matter. Thanks for listening. But maybe the games next week will be more of resting situations for these guys with the season starting the week after that. But I digress, because in the win for the Pistons, 19 points for Luke Kennard, 5 of 6 shooting from 3 as the team shot 40% on 45 attempts. Bombs away, the new NBA, all that stuff. 18 points for Derrick Rose and 5 assists off the bench. 17 points for Blake Griffin, 13 and 9 rebounds for Andre Drummond, and 13 and 5 assists for Reggie Jackson. In the loss, Luka Doncic had 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. I had Luka written on my sheet here, and it auto-corrected to Luke, so I put Kennard in my head. I got all sorts of excuses. But the Pistons close, as we said, the home portion of the preseason on Friday at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 7 o'clock, John Beilein coming to town there. Darius Garland, interesting team. Colin Sexton, pretty much two point guards, and that's pretty much all the talent that they have right now. Next week, Tuesday against Philly and Wednesday against Charlotte. So that'll do it for the preseason. The following week is Wednesday, the season opener on the road against the Indiana Pacers. The following night, Thursday, at home opener, Atlanta Hawks coming to Detroit. But Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Go ahead and enter Locked On, promo code Locked On at checkout. Again, promo code Locked On for $30 off your purchase of $399 or more at Indochino, Indochino.com. And up next, we're going to talk about my three takeaways from Wednesday's preseason game in downtown Detroit. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, I'm going to give you some thoughts on China. The NBA is out there, so there's yahoos like me giving their opinion on China. I know that's what you come for here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, to get all the geopolitical commentary that you deserve and that you need to get through your day. But I want to give you some thoughts. I got a bonus thought, too. Three thoughts plus one on the Pistons' preseason victory on Wednesday night against the Dallas Mavericks. I already talked about how I thought that Dwayne Casey extended the minutes, especially of some of the starters and key players, a little bit more than maybe I would have anticipated. But I think partly because of that reason for that is that, and that was a great sentence I just said, but part of the reason for that is that I think that Dwayne Casey wants to see how the lineup of death that the Pistons might have, what I think could be the closing lineup, and I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek just because the defense might be a little rough for this team. But in the third quarter, they rolled out Derrick Rose with Reggie Jackson in the backcourt, Luke Kennard kind of playing a swingman with Andre and Blake out there together as well. Like I said, this could be the fourth quarter lineup. This could be the need-a-bucket lineup. Again, I worry about the defense in there. I think that that's five guys that really aren't strong defensive players, Andre being maybe the outsider because he's like pretty good at defense at times. The rest of them, not so good at all. I can imagine that there's going to be some prime-time, crunch-time scorers that would covet going up against such a lineup down the stretch in the NBA. But it was nice to see, and as noted by the writers after the game, Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard off the bench together as the two guards. They the first couple preseason games, they kind of check in together there. I think that that could be a formidable duo, especially on the offensive end, completely on the offensive end, basically. But Derrick Rose running pick and roll, obviously, and Luke Kennard doing that as well. I thought one time that Derrick took the ball to the rim a little bit too aggressively, as I'm sure will happen time and time again this season. Missed a wide open Luke Kennard in the corner. So maybe that's something that those guys will get used to each other. But obviously both of them played very well on Wednesday as individuals and played well together as well. So that could be something that we could see develop in time. Derek had some very complimentary things about Luke to say after the game to Johnny Kane on the court in the postgame. He said that Luke was the first shooter he's played with who was young. No slight to Kyle Korver there, he pointed out. And then later on to the other media folks, he said that Luke Kennard doesn't know how good he can be. So we'll be interesting to see how Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard, that playmaking evolution and relationship evolves over the year with the two guys that are probably going to be second quarter mates out there and possibly fourth quarter mates out there as part of a larger strategy for Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff down the stretch of games. The second observation I wanted to make is Christian Wood. Limited minutes, but once again, very, very good. We want to see more Christian Wood. Keep him on the team. I said that in the first game he did enough to ensure his roster spot and that Ed Stefanski in the front office needs to find a way to make that happen, whether that means saying goodbye to Joe Johnson or making a trade or making an unexpected cut somewhere along the line with the roster. But five points, seven rebounds in 9 minutes for Christian Wood, making plays out there. Ran the pick and roll with Blake Griffin on kind of a short post there and rolled nicely. Blake Griffin with a no-look pass, kind of threaded the needle to find Christian Wood for the dunk there. 19-8 in the first game on Monday against Orlando. Kind of really one of the only bright spots in that game, the star in that one. So Christian Wood, no change in the opinion there. Keep him. Find a way to keep Christian Wood on this Pistons roster. My third observation is kind of a joint observation from games one and two. Tony Snell, I think he just looks really solid in that first unit. 3 of 10 from three, and just throwing him up there from the corner, throwing him up there from all over the place. And Pistons fans should like to see that. He's going to enjoy having the freedom of this offense. He's going to enjoy throwing up threes. He's going to enjoy the fact that there's not really a formidable option that's going to keep him out of the rotation. He should be able to show his worth with 2 years left on his contract and maybe find an NBA home in some ways with the Detroit Pistons. We'd like to see him become, you know, even more of a defensive player than he has been these last few years, kind of join Bruce Brown as a guy who can really disrupt good players in the NBA, and we'll see how that kind of evolves. With Tony Snell's stint in a Pistons uniform, we'd like to see him become a force and maybe split up Luke and Derek and split up Bruce and Tony and kind of match up those guys with an offensive and defensive partner in some of those rotations. Could be an interesting other way that this could all shake out for the Pistons going forward. But my bonus observation is that the coach's challenge, man, I hate it. I hate instant replay. I hate coaches' challenges. Dwayne Casey used one of them, and certainly no fault. I'm not faulting Dwayne Casey for using it. I am. In that situation, it was a bad usage because Luka Doncic got hit in the face, and you're not going to get a call reverse when one of the best players one of the best young players in the NBA gets hit in the face there. But yeah, it's not something I enjoy, and we'll see how Coach Casey does with it. If you got one a game, I think you should use it every game on something. So we'll see how the percentages go as far as which coach picks the right times to use that coaching challenge. But again, another variable, another reason to slow down the game. This is the same NBA that's using the G League to use the one free throw rule and move on with their lives, but still breaking out things like coaches' challenges to slow down the game and make old guys like me, curmudgeons like me, upset as time goes on. So we'll see how it all kind of develops. And I bet, and even more so, I think that it's strange that they didn't use it in the first game. I think the coaches should be using the preseason just like Matt Patricia and the NFL coaches did. Use that pass interference challenge during the preseason. Use these coaches' challenges during the preseason to see how referees are going to legislate this, to see how things get overturned, what kind of calls you should be trying to challenge during the regular season when games start to matter, so you can start kind of studying and adding data to the things that you can make decisions on later on. So that's my take. Those are my 3+1 observations. Also, Blake Griffin, not looking so great so far health-wise. I think that maybe he's playing himself into shape a little bit more than last season when he had that healthy offseason. So, you know, maybe Blake Griffin's not going to be super explosive and not going to be I noticed that he's a sweater. We know that. He's a guy who sweats quite a bit, like a lot of guys out there in the NBA, particularly with him. But that sweat was getting really early was all sorts of drenched. So I wonder if, like I said, he's kind of playing himself into game shape. And we know he's not, I'm not accusing Blake Griffin of coming into camp out of shape or something like that. But we know that there's a huge difference between any kind of in shape and then an NBA basketball in game shape, which is otherworldly and something that most of us and definitely hosts of podcasts can possibly even attain in this life or the next. But is your company looking for new ways to reach customers? Your company can be mentioned right here, right now. Podcast listeners are more than 60% likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, I got some thoughts on China. I know you guys have been wondering what my take is on the Asian geopolitical situation and how the Houston Rockets fit into that. Geopolitics coming right up. You've been warned. So if you don't want to hear that, maybe don't listen to the third segment. But that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and two more things while I'm thinking about it. We're looking for your bold predictions for the 2019-20 season with the Pistons. Do you got any bold ones, some juicy ones, or do you got some regular ones? We'll take those two. Keep it under a minute and a half. Give us a call at 810-666-1546. Leave your name, where you live, and what you think about the Pistons this year. 810-666-1546. Big trade coming up. They're going to win a lot more games than everyone thinks. Are you going under? You're going to go with, what are you going to go? What's going to happen here with this Pistons season? What kind of discussions are we going to be having next summer? Andre Drummond's extension, we've heard some smoke there as well, and we'll see how it all comes together. The other thing on my mind that I wanted to pass along to you guys, the listeners, we are looking for a new host to kickstart a new podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Drum roll, please. The Red Wings, Locked On Red Wings. Do you think you could host the Locked On Red Wings show? Do you know someone who might want to host the Locked On Red Wings show? Get in touch with me. Email me at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Introduce yourself. Make it brief. Just send me a few sentences. And why you're qualified, who you are, who you know, how much you're going to bribe me to get this job. I'll pass your name along to the decision makers. I am not a decision maker on this, but I can get your name out there to the folks who will be making these kind of decisions and do it as quickly as possible because maybe they're moving forward with someone else that I don't know about at this point. But I did inquire, did ask about it, and they're looking for someone. And if you know someone, as quickly as possible, get in touch with me about that. Best way to do that, email Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Save your resumes. I don't need those. Just a couple of sentences about who you are and why you'd be good at hosting the Locked On Red Wings show. I'll give you all the more information if you get in touch with me about that as far as serious candidates who need to know the things that they need to know about that. But the China situation, speaking of things you need to know, plenty of places to read about this and plenty of people who are more educated on this topic than I am out there. But you guys are listening to my show, so you value my opinion a little bit here, our show, I should say. But, at some point, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more as things kind of go on. But we need to recognize the gravity of the situation, the importance of it. I appreciated, by the way, that Steve Kerr came out and said that he wants to study it more. And I know it looks weak on the grounds that we can all assume that China, given their history and given some of the things that we are hearing about what's going on with their relationship with Hong Kong, it's pretty easy to just kind of jump on China. And obviously the NBA is reluctant to do that because of their financial relationship with him. But it is nice to have that nuance from Steve Kerr. I have a feeling he's not going to just sit in the shadows and never say anything about this. I respect that about Steve Kerr. And I appreciated his stance even more so when I heard Mike Valeni and Donald Trump ripping Steve Kerr about it. You know you're doing something right when those two are kind of getting all over you about something. I kind of kid a little bit because actually, if you listen to the show, you know I do. I dropped my glasses again. What's going on here? I'm gesturing wildly just with my glasses, and they're falling all over the place. Losing my mind here early on in the season. But Mike Valeni, I kid. I actually do like Mike Valeni sometimes, and I respect him pretty much all the time, if not most of the time. Not the other guy. though, that I mentioned earlier, not a big respectful or fan or even follower or anything close to that of the other dude. But the China situation is not really a Pistons story yet. Obviously, it's a Pistons story in that it's a huge NBA story. There could be big salary cap ramifications. I'm of the opinion that in some way, somehow, this stuff gets resolved a little bit quicker than the doomsday scenarios as far as the, you know, the salary cap going down 15% because of the pie trickling, the pie becoming smaller because of the lack of money that's coming in from China and all the things that that brings as far as that huge market where the NBA is a factor in their, you know, daily lives of a lot of Chinese citizens. So that's kind of my thought. I feel like it'll blow over a little bit at some point. I don't know how much the NBA is going to have to kowtow to make that happen. But again, my bird's eye view, semi-uneducated, maybe super uneducated, you want to say. But the fact of how China is reacting to how they're reacting with all the restrictions and the strong-arming of NBA entities, it should embolden those of us who believe in freedom. It's not really helping their standing in our American discourse about this situation that we have over here in terms of how we're reacting. Now, again, I don't think they care over in China. They're a lot more powerful than maybe some of us realize over here in America. And I think the NBA is one of the first prominent American businesses. They're going to have to kind of deal with that and look at themselves in the mirror and look at the situation in the mirror and figure out how they're going to proceed with it. This is a really tough situation for Adam Silver. I'm not going to rip him at all for right now. I mean, obviously he's trying to run a business and he's going to figure out ways to smooth this over without alienating people like Daryl Morey and without alienating players who not necessarily have strong opinions about this right now. In fact, James Harden kind of coming, making the, picking up the bag while he speaks out for his Chinese brothers and sisters over there. But to me, it just kind of seems like Daryl Morey. But what I meant with the players is that they are speaking up on their own social issues. So you're kind of alienating the players if you come down on Daryl Morey, even though he's not a player. But it kind of sends a message that maybe freedom of speech is not as important as the NBA as we may have believed when we're talking about protests against violence or Donald Trump or whatever it is that players have been protesting in the past. But Daryl Morey, man, it seems like this guy's got kind of a death wish as far as his job. Maybe I shouldn't throw terms like death wish around so loosely. I didn't mean that as a joke. But that's like the first thing that anyone knows about the Rockets, if you follow the NBA, even on a bird's eye level, is that they are China's team. I mean, Yao was there. Obviously, they've had the jerseys with the Chinese letters on them. If you know anything about the NBA, you know that China was in with the Rockets. And so for the general manager of that team to do this, it kind of seems like I said that he had kind of a death wish there. But I also knew, you also know that he's a little bit untouchable. Daryl Morey is kind of regarded as the more famous nerd GM out there. I don't know if he's regarded as the best GM out there. Masai Ujiri might have something to say about that. But he's beloved by the media, beloved around the league, it seems like. So if he's a little bit untouchable, and by the way, that owner in Houston seems like a piece of work. And also probably very similar to every owner out there in the NBA from what we can tell. But I digress there. There are plenty of places where this is being talked about, except ESPN, notably. But you can understand where that company is coming from, too. And I'm not defending ESPN, but they've made their stances kind of known on this stuff, washing their hands on a lot of this. The only thing that they believe in is the money, and they are a business. That's what they do. So got kind of some respect for there. But it's interesting that Daryl Morey is kind of an untouchable guy before this incident, was the one who made this stance be known. So that's kind of all for now for me on that. Some hot takes about the Chinese geopolitical situation going on. But from a Pistons perspective, something to keep in mind is that Derrick Rose is very popular in China. He is very tied in with the Chinese market, a big-time Adidas player, an icon over there still. I think I saw that his Adidas shoes are like one of the top five sellers still year after year over there, despite him being relegated to a role player, a bench player in the NBA these days. I guess all those kind of strange Rose stands, I guess there's an entire country of them over there in China. And I know that's something that I believe that I'm guessing that our daily beat writers are out there trying to get some comments on Derrick Rose and how he feels about this. I would assume that he's going to be as diplomatic as possible, given how much money he has wrapped up into the Chinese market. But I would be interested to know what Derrick Rose has to say about what's going on with Daryl Morey and China and the NBA and Hong Kong. I'm sure he doesn't have super political. I shouldn't say that. Maybe he does have super political opinions about that, but it doesn't strike me as a guy. And again, not just to single out Derrick Rose, no NBA players, no NBA management up until Daryl Morey came in here. We know that Joe Tsai is the new owner of the Brooklyn Nets. He has ties to that region of the world as well. So yeah, there are some one-offs of people who might have some opinions about this particular situation, but like to say that, you know, most 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, NBA type of players, people like me who are in that demographic as well, you know, Americans who kind of go on with our horrible daily lives as it is, don't have these kind of opinions off the top of our heads. So we'll see how this kind of evolves, and we'll drop it for now, I promise. But I'll be interested to know what Derrick Rose has to say, if anything, about this situation going forward. So that'll do it for the show. This is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons Podcast. Planning for one more episode on Friday before we close out the week. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you guys then.